one on share. If you didn't bring, I know we kind of had some people in, and so you may have not saved your copy, but you're very welcome to these. I just kind of hit some highlights tonight. I know there's a kind of the bulk of the material still left to cover. We kind of got through on down to point number 7. Don't forget there is some additional material in the first handout I gave you on Hebrews chapters 1 and 2 and the introduction on that very first lesson on how Jesus is better than angels. There was an opening section on a little bit on angels. We're on point number 7. And just kind of sometimes I put the topic in the form of a question, other times just making a statement. But there again, there's just a lot about angels that we don't know about. The Bible just states it as a fact without any surrounding material, so it's just that's it, and without any discussion from the Bible anyway. So it's just brought forth. So we talk about number 7, an angel of the Lord. Is the angel of the Lord identified in the Bible? So I just put in your notes. Well, any angel executing the commands of God might be called an angel of the Lord. Of course, remember, angel just means messenger. But mention is made of an angel, perhaps, and I think perhaps, the same angel who is distinguished from God, yet identified with God. So I put a few places where you can find the phrase angel of the Lord. There's about 50 of them in the Old and New Old Testament, maybe a couple places in the New. And some conclude that the angel of the Lord is Gabriel from Luke 1 verse 19, where it says, "Yo, I'm Gabriel who stand in the presence of the Lord." So typically that's where most people would get, they think that Gabriel might be the one from, is the angel of the Lord. Others conclude it's the Lord himself. Perhaps the bulk of the argument would lend itself toward that direction, that the angel of the Lord is the Lord himself. I just put a note in your notes, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 4. When Israel was led in the Old Testament, and then there's a phrase that says, then that spiritual rock that accompanied them was Christ. So perhaps when we speak about the angel of the Lord, separate from God, but identified with God, and sometimes this angel of the Lord was worshipped, was called Lord. So typically the abundance of evidence points out that the angel of the Lord in the Bible was the Lord himself. Number 8, and other than that, we don't know. Number 8, angels will accompany Jesus when he returns. And I gave you several verses for that. One, I'll just read Matthew 13, verse 40. "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So when Jesus comes again, there will be angels in that, or that will accompany him on his return. Number 9 in your notes, a question typically comes up about what happens to the angel that sin. The Bible doesn't use the phrase good angels and bad angels, but we've got to maybe make that distinction in our thought process. But in 2 Peter 2, verse 4, "God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." Jude verse 6, "Angels which kept not their first estate left their own habitation. He has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day." The devil will be cast in Revelation 20 verse 10. The devil will be cast into the lake of fire. Matthew 25. Again, referring to everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So I just put your notes. As far as I can tell, the Bible. Bible does not reveal a plan of repentance or salvation for angels who sin. There's just nothing stated about that. We sometimes maybe reason through that, and I kind of put it, we have to reason a conclusion for that. Perhaps it's because they have first-hand information about eternity or God or heaven, and with that first-hand information, having the Bible say, you know, they left that habitation or that estate, so perhaps God has not offered them an opportunity for return. I always use the like word perhaps. maybe that's a conclusion that we kind of make. Now there is one phrase in 1 Peter 1 verses 9 through 12. Peter mentions receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, meaning us as Christians, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us, which things the angels desired to look into. So perhaps there's something, you know, angels would like to involve themselves in that salvation plan, even though they had a part in revealing it, just like the prophets. But for a conclusive area, I don't know. I think the wind just blew that door open. Under some general observations, and pretty much I don't have a lot of comment on these. Pretty much my notes are the same as the outline. I may have summarized the verse in your notes, so I wouldn't take up a lot of space on the paper. But when I write my notes, I write the whole verse out. And maybe there might be a comment or two in this section. But under general observations concerning the second coming, angels don't know. You know, that's just so. Verse that we're very familiar with. Nobody knows. It's interesting in Luke 15, verse 7, I say to you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents. So angels that are on God's side rejoice when there's salvation. Luke 15, 10, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. So there's rejoicing. We have capability of causing heaven to rejoice. And there's salvation involved. Number three, under general observations, angels are ministering spirits. Now, just to kind of put an explanation, again, these are my words to kind of give a little explanation. So angels are certainly real, but without material substance as we think of it. You know, in Luke 24, Jesus, after his resurrection, Luke 24, verse 39, he said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. So angels are God's, as we mentioned before in other places, God's servants. They obey God's commands. They serve him, worship him. Number four, angels are not omnipresent. I mean, as far as we can tell from when we read all the verses that refer to angels, they can't be in more than one place at once, where God can't. God is everywhere present. They're not omnipotent. They have no force of their own. They exercise the power that God channels through them. The angels are not omniscient or all-knowing. God speaks and they obey. So just some conclusions. Number five, we're never told to pray to angels. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 says there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So angels are ministers to us, and we pray to God for the help we need, and God sends that help in a manner of his choice. Number six, in heaven, will we become angels? No. No. I can be conclusive on some things with angels. And I'll give you the verses for that in Mark 12, verse 25. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as angels which are in heaven. So in heaven, we'll share some qualities or characteristics that angels enjoy. But in the resurrection, we do not evolve into angels when we get to heaven. That's a misconception that people have. Oh, you're going to earn your wings. No. No. That's a myth. A very comforting one, but it's not biblical. You do not earn wings. In 1 John 3, verse 2, beloved, we are now the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Number 7, in Hebrews 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Don't forget to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. I key on that word, unawares. Perhaps, I said in your notes, not until eternity will you know if any of the strangers you entertain were angels. Possibility is kind of exciting just to think about that. I might be entertaining angels, but I don't know. Let that be comforting to you. I also put in your notes, the term death angel is not in the Bible. Again, it's interesting when I make preparation for a lesson, and then there's something in the newspaper that is on that same topic, and the term death angel. And here was a guy just a week ago, on January 22nd of this year. It says, in the dark days of November 2006, it goes back to it's about 9-10 years. Alexander Litvinenko, a former KGB officer turned the foe of the Kremlin, lay dying in a London hospital. He and his associates composed a deathbed missive to President Vladimir Putin. So here this guy 10 years ago, he's on his deathbed. He turned against, he became an agent opposing the KGB. So he composed this deathbed letter. In the letter, Litvinenko said he could hear, quote, the beating of the wings of the angel of death. We typically get that phrase from the Old Testament story of the last plague. People think, oh, that was the angel of death that passed, or the angel of life, for the Israelites, he passed over the houses that had blood sprinkled on the doorpost, but then the others died. But here, I wrote down a couple of verses. In Exodus 12, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, in verse 12, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And it shall come to pass, in verse 26, it shall come to pass when your children shall say to you, what mean ye by this service? Then ye shall say, it is the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. Was not a death angel that passed over the houses. The Lord spake to Moses and Aaron, and the Lord said, I will pass over you. And it's the Lord's Passover, not the death angel's Passover. So hopefully that will help settle a question like that. Also, I always hear the term, Gabriel, blow your horn. It's not in the Bible. I hate to mess that up. I thought long and hard on that. Gabriel, blow your horn, but that's not the Bible. You've heard that all your life, but it's just not there. Number 11, I put guardian angels. The question always comes up about guardian angels. Scriptures don't use that term. It's not there. But I just put in notes, the scriptures do give us an idea, suggestion. Some people would make a conclusion from the verses, an idea of a guardian angel. The verses are Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord. There's that phrase again. The angel of the Lord encamps them that fear him and delivers them. So the angel of the Lord delivers, involved in deliverance of God's people. Psalm 91, 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And God certainly did that when Jesus was in the garden. Now, instead of sending 10,000 angels to physically deliver him, he sent an angel to strengthen him for Jesus. In Luke 16, verse 22, it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. But angels accompanied the one. We have songs. I don't have time to read all these, but I just pulled a copy. Couple notes. There's a song, we used to sing this song at least when I was a youngster, a song titled, Will the Angels Come for Me? And when my work on earth is ended, will the angels come for me? Will they bear me on their pinions, their wings, or the dark and stormy sea? When like sun is slowly sinking, and the soul will soon be free, will the gates of heaven open, and the angels come for me? And then the chorus is, will the angels come for me, or will the angels come for me? When I cross the stormy sea, will they take me home to God when the long, rough way I trod? Very popular song when I was a youngster. Another song is Oh Come Angel Band. My latest son is thinking fast. That's in our book. I know I'm nearing the holy ranks of saints and angels dear. I brush the dew of Jordan's banks. The crossing must be near. So even hymn writers have captured that idea of angels coming for us. Another song is The Sinless Summer Land. We've sung this one in one of our other song books. I'm longing for the coming of the Snow White Angel Band that shall bear my weary spirit to that sinless summer land. So Snow White, the Bible doesn't describe angels with snow white wings. That's a literary license that the hymn writers have taken. But other people have grasped that idea of guardian angels, especially that will accompany us. God will use them to bear our soul away. Matthew 18, verse 10, another very familiar verse. See that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. So I put in your notes, again, the scriptures reveal God sending an angel in the life of his people, in the life of Jesus many times. An angel announced his birth. The angels were there after the temptation, at the beginning of the temptations too. It says the devil leaves him in Matthew 4, verse 11. The devil leaves him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So when Jesus was tempted, there was an angel I mentioned in the garden. At the resurrection, there was an angel that rolled away the stone. And angels were there at his ascension. So even in the life of Jesus, angels were there. Back in the first outline I gave you on Hebrews chapter 1 and 2, in that introduction, I mentioned several times God's use of angels in the life of the apostles. So you have those added notes. So whether it's a personal angel or a host to watch over us, it's not revealed. And for my faith, it really doesn't matter as long as I'm being watched over.
Amen.
My faith, just put my trust in God. If God wants to send an angel or whatever other means or answered prayer, I don't see them. I don't converse with them. I don't worship them. So but that's the topic of the angels. So I just put in the bottom of your notes concerning this topic, a phrase seems appropriate, fools rush into the angel's fear to tread. Sometimes I might be foolish in looking at a topic, but certainly don't want to ignore anything that the Bible mentions. If the Bible mentions angels, perhaps it's a valuable study. Will help us and benefit us. There's much about angels beyond our understanding. So I just did a kind of a sidebar on these last two Sunday nights about the angels. next Wednesday, Sunday night, we have our singing and potluck devotional. The old devotional and then the potluck to follow. And the following Sunday evening, Lord willing, we'll do the look at the next phrase in the Hebrews chapter 6, where the word, we go back to the word better now, not the word angel. Back to the word better, where it says, I'm persuaded, we're persuaded better things of you. And it's going to take, again, pretty much about 14 verses of the text to give you the context of that phrase, we are persuaded better things of you. Because in the opening verses, I'll give you a little foresight, you'll see that some fell away, and it's impossible to renew them to repentance. And then you have the verse, two verses later, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. And the context is, if you could kind of insert the verses, we're persuaded better things of you than falling away. And that phrase is used, I think, three more times in the book of Hebrews. So I'll give you that in 2 weeks. We are persuaded better things of you. Then I'll add to it, than falling away. Don't do that. Don't do that. All right. And at the close of a lesson, always when we assemble, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. Then made a selection, and we get the invitation to obey the gospel, to become a Christian. We extend also, we add to that, if you'd like to add, while brethren are gathered here, prayers for strength, encouragement, forgiveness, help, whatever it is, just remember me. We can certainly honor that request too. So let's stand together and we'll sing the song that Dennis has selected.